The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Welcome to the first Radio Today programme of 2014. Happy New Year from Trevor Dan and all of us at Radio Today. I must say, reading and listening to various predictions about the year ahead, it does feel like we're in for another challenging 12 months. But rest assured, we'll keep you up to date at radiotoday.co.uk and via this weekly podcast. Coming up, the news from Roy Martin and this week's Radio Moments from David Lloyd. But first, let's talk to Andy Carter, who's just stepped down from his role as Group MD of the Real and Smooth Networks after 12 years with what we used to call GMG and is now part of Global Radio. Andy, hello.
Hello, Trevor.
How are you feeling with perhaps a little less to do than you used to in the first week of a new year?
I've had a lovely Christmas. I'm fully relaxed. I've been for a walk pretty much every day of my holiday, and I'm going for another walk today as well.
Well, that sounds very civilised. Andy, did you see this coming? I mean, it was clear, wasn't it, that once Global had bought Real and Smooth, they weren't likely to have a duplicate management in place. So did you have some weeks or months to prepare?
Yes, I've known that the process of sale started, you know, in early 2011. So we've been in a very elongated period of transition, which hasn't quite finished yet. And yes, absolutely, I was very aware that the future of my role was probably not that it wouldn't be needed. So I reached a decision that at the point where everything was resolved about competition issues, that I would step down.
Now, I appreciate that you can't tell us anything that's commercially confidential, but in the broadest sense, are you optimistic about the future of Real and Smooth under Global?
Yes, I think Global is a fantastic company from a radio perspective, because it has and is investing in radio brands. I think already we're seeing a very positive future for Smooth, and I think Real needed significant investment, and it will get that from Global at heart.
So is it confirmed, as far as you know, that the Real stations will become Heart stations?
Well, the final decision will be made by the party that acquires the stations. And at this stage, I can't tell you who will acquire the stations, because I don't think anything's been signed yet. But I would be highly surprised if there weren't Hearts in the north of England, Wales and Scotland.
So you were talking about the party that will acquire. Now, this is a reference to the fact that Global finally gave up trying to buy those stations that it had acquired, that the Competition Commission said it couldn't actually fully own. As far as you know, is there something in place that will be announced at some stage?
Well, Global have been very clear that they will make an announcement in February, and they'll do that at the point where the deal is agreed with the Competition Commission and with the purchaser. So as far as I'm aware at the moment, nothing has been agreed with any party, and so it would be wrong for me to say that this is what's going to happen. A lot can change when you're pulling together a business deal, not just in 2 months, but in a couple of hours. So I think we'll have to wait and see what's announced in February.
Andy, you sound very confident, and you say that you think that the networks are in good hands. But there wasn't there, I think, quite a difference in corporate culture between the old GMG and the old Capital Radio and GCAP and now Global Radio. Do you feel in any sense kind of nostalgic for the loss of GMG and the whole kind of John Myers, John Simons atmosphere?
I think GMG was a fantastic place to work. I think I had a wonderful time there. I learnt a huge amount there, not just about radio, but about business and about managing people. I think, you know, there were some great times there. But GMG was a trust. GMG, it has a very different agenda, very different corporate agenda. And the purpose of GMG is very different to that of Capital Radio or GWR or Global or any other business that you can probably come across. So, you know, there were bound to be changes down the line. Do I feel nostalgic? Look, everything has a place and a time. It was a wonderful time. I actually think the last 18 months in Hold Separate, if I look back at that period, it's been really challenging. But actually, the business has achieved some phenomenal results. And I think it's very easy to just say, oh, well, the good times were in the past. Actually, the good times for business, for delivering, you know, really great audience numbers and fantastic revenue performance have been in the last 18 months during Hold Separate.
You mentioned learning and having experiences within Real and Smooth and within GMG. Of course, you are quite unusual these days in having ended up as a commercial managing director coming from a program making background. Is that sort of career pattern likely, do you think, to go away? I mean, it just does seem to me that increasingly it is the bean counters that run the stations, that it's the people with marketing and accounting backgrounds who are predominant, and the people from the, if you like, creative side who are subservient within commercial radio. Does it feel like that to you? Is that fair?
I hope it doesn't go away. I'm not sure it is fair. I think we've got some people running, I think there's a lot of people that are running radio stations that are passionate about radio. I think it would be great if there were more people that came from a programming content background. But actually what you need is people that really, really love the medium, but that can take an objective and a business view on every decision that's made. I think having a programming background and a content background helped me tremendously, because I understood when I was talking to clients what was possible and the creative opportunity that was there. It doesn't mean that those people that just come from a commercial background don't understand that, but I think it allowed me to talk with more authority. And I certainly found that actually managing people in the creative environment and managing people in the commercial environment wasn't that dissimilar. You know, you have top performers in both areas of the industry, in commercial and in programming, who have all the same issues, have all the same pressures, and often need to be managed in exactly the same way. And I think actually it doesn't particularly matter which sector you come from, providing you've got a love of radio.
Andy, you talked about radio stations. Looking forward over the next 5 years, are stations like the Smooth and Real networks going to be real radio stations, or are they not just relay stations for a national network?
Well, look, I think the really good thing that we're seeing with UK radio at the moment is that we have a tiered and a segmented industry. We have some stations that are part of a network. We have some stations that are semi-autonomous, that will deliver content at peak times locally. And then we have some stations that are truly local, that focus on their area 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. And I think that's a good thing. It would be crazy to say that every station should do exactly the same thing all the time. It's about your business model, and it's about ensuring that there's a diverse sector. So I think it's important that we have all types of radio in the UK.
That's very interesting. Let me be clear on that. Are you saying that you think in the not too distant future we're going to basically see a two-track commercial radio system in the UK, where we will have a number of national networks and then, if you like, below them, what remains of the old kind of ILR idea?
I think we're probably almost there with that already, and I think that's a good thing. I'm very much in favour of deregulating our sector so that you can make a business decision on what's right for you. For me, there are certain elements of our sector where I can see there's a really strong case for doing what you would class as local radio. And I think that will work well. I believe in local radio. And I think that for some businesses sets you apart in the market. If others want to go off and do networked radio, great. Let them go and do that. It's a right environment to have a mixed economy. And yes, I suspect we probably will see a twin track, probably more than two you know, probably three as well, because we've got the community sector, and then you've got the BBC in there as well. And you know, I think it's very easy to sort of focus our conversation about what's happening in commercial radio. We always have to consider what's happening in the wider ecology of radio and media. And I think that's sometimes where radio people get a little bogged down and just think about their sector. And actually, we're living in a media world that's far broader than that now.
I'm going to get bogged down in our sector for a minute.
It's good on the Radio Today programme today.
I just want to ask you about this. Yes, it's true that commercial radio is all about pleasing the shareholder, and it has to maximise its audiences so it can maximise its revenue. We know all that. There is, though, a debate, isn't there, that you hear, Jeff Lloyd was talking about it not long ago, about whether commercial radio wouldn't actually make more money if it invested more in better content rather than doing what it appears to do. And I'm speaking as an outsider here, which is to asset strip, which is to syndicate where it can, consolidate where it can, take out investment in programming to maximise what revenue there is there. I mean, where do you stand on that debate about how much money should be invested in programming and content?
I think it is a really interesting debate. I've seen significant investment go into content development, and then it not really return significant revenue and growth in audience. And at the same time, I know of stations that deliver what you might class as high levels of music programming with very little content determined beyond that, and they're very, very successful. I think it's important we have a mixed ecology. It's really, really important we understand our audiences. The audience has to be at the heart of what we're doing, and in commercial world we constantly have to remember that the BBC are there, and probably whatever commercial radio does, the BBC will be able to outspend it. So you've got to be very conscious constantly that you're not just going to throw poor water down the drain in commercial radio, because the BBC will be able to deliver quite often a product that is better than you, and they'll come into that space very quickly if they see it working.
I think that sounds a bit negative, actually, Andy, if I may say so. That sounds a bit like you're saying, well, we'll never be as successful as the BBC, so it's not even worth trying.
No, I don't think I'm saying that at all, Trevor. I think what I'm saying is that there are certain spaces that commercial radio can do things very, very well and very, very successfully. And I think commercial radio does do content very well and very successfully. And there are times when actually you can have a great idea, but it's not necessarily the right commercial thing to do. So I think it's, again, it's horses for courses. And there are good areas and good ideas that will generate audience, but they won't necessarily generate revenue to sit alongside it.
So, Andy, it's traditional after a long spell with one company to do some gardening. This isn't the right weather for that, is it? So what are you actually going to be doing in the future?
It's quite interesting. I have a couple of plans outside of radio at the moment. I have my family has a business, and there's been some changes in the family recently, and so I'm spending some time actually working in a very different sector.
Can you give us a clue what that is?
It's nothing to do with radio. Actually, my family business is all related to the footwear sector. So I'm actually spending some time overseas in Italy and in Portugal with people that make shoes, and it's a really, really different experience. Again, a lot of what I've learnt in the radio sector around brand development, around marketing, and around on managing people, the same applies in the fashion footwear sector. So I'm spending some time in that space and looking at that business at the moment. But radio is in my blood. I love radio, and I'm sure it won't be too long before I'm doing something else.
There's a gag in there about soul music, but I won't do it. Andy Carter, thank you ever so much for talking to us on the Radio Today programme. We wish you every success, and I think we'll probably hear from you in radio at some time in the future. Good luck.
Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you. That was Andy Carter. Let's have some radio news now from Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme.
Thank you, Trevor, and thanks, Andy, as well. This is the first radio news roundup of 2014, and what an interesting year we are expecting. So far, Steve Penk has sold his Greater Manchester radio station, The Revolution. Steve bought the station in 2008 and has been on The Breakfast Show for most of that time. Now, the former Orion Media managing director, Matt Ramsbottom, has taken up the challenge. He's bought the station for an undisclosed sum. It'd be interesting to see what plans he has for the Oldham-based radio station. Hot Radio in Poole and Bournemouth has announced it will be closing. But then it didn't close. It announced just before the new year that it will be closing on Monday, the 6th of January. But just hours before the expected closure time, a tweet was sent saying that the station is continuing. Good luck to the guys there. Hope you get everything sorted. Jazz FM has gone from DAB across most of the country. In its place on D1, a new service coming soon. Most of us are expecting Kistory from Bauer Media. So less jazz and more jazz. And sticking with Bauer Media, it's blocked all international streams for its new toy, Absolute Radio, in a move which has got many people asking, why? That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
UK-voiceover.com.
Audio production starting from £3.
UK-voiceover.com.
On Twitter at UKVoiceover.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audio Boo, sharing voices with the world.
So the start of another year in radio. New things begin this time of year, and so it was that this week, 11 years ago, Dr. Fox presented his first Hit 40 UK, what had been the Pepsi Chart Show.
And our big battle was to find a way of giving us some credibility.
7 new entries today, and this booms in at Hit Song 7. Radiohead and Creep, they're a 5-piece band from Oxford, originally released this single last summer.
That same week in 2003, EMAP launched the Smash Hits chart, and Radio 1 announced that young Wes Butters was to take over the Radio 1 chart. Staying with the BBC chart, it was this week, 32 years ago, that Tommy Vance took over. Later in his reign, he was the first to drop chart position jingles.
Oh, do not forget that you can hear the nation's top chart show right now, I can't even say it, Top 40, in Super Stereo on VHF.
Tommy Vance, this week's Top 40 on Radio 1.
I should have brought my teeth now. Hi, how are you? There are 4 new entries into our Top 40 this week, and I hope you're all extremely well. Down from 33 to this week's number 40, just who is the 5 o'clock hero by The Jam?
Number 39
is by Blondie.
This week in 1948, the first BBC radio soap. It was launched on the BBC Light programme.
Mrs. Dale's Diary, a recording of the daily happenings in the life of a doctor's wife.
I've been very lazy over the weekend and haven't made a single entry in my diary since Friday. So now I have to try and cover 4 days at once. On Saturday, Sally called in on her way to the shop to pick up Mother. She'd had a letter from Trevor that morning, written at the end of his first day in the army.
Mrs. Dale's Diary. It launched this week 66 years ago. It was to last 21 years. The Light programme's successor was BBC Radio 2. And this week, 11 years ago, after the departure of J.Y. on mid-mornings, a new voice.
Good afternoon and the warmest of welcomes to the Jeremy Vine Show. Very nice to be with you. Today we discuss guns among young black men. Will a change in the law change the culture? The Home Secretary's here.
Jeremy Vine's first mid-morning show this week in 2003. In commercial radio, it's exactly 4 years now since another swathe of brand changes. Chiltern, Hereward, Horizon, Northants, Q, Broadland and SGR became Heart.
Heart is coming.
Heart always makes me feel good. Songs that I've liked since I was little, songs that I like now, songs that my mum likes. Songs for everyone, for everyone, for everyone, for everyone.
Heart is coming.
It's very fun. It has music that's easy to listen to.
Also on rebrands, it's now 12 years since Real Radio Scotland replaced Scott FM. Audiences have grown a bit since then.
Why would you rather go out to work than bring up your kids properly?
Because I want to give my kids things that I can't give them if I wasn't working, and that's
what,
rubbish.
Like computers and flashing trainers and all that rubbish?
That's right, I'll give them all that again.
Classic Scotty McClue. If you're worried about the slow uptake of DAB, let's remember that it was this time in 1940, 74 years ago, that FM radio was demonstrated in the United States for the first time to its regulator, the FCC. Radio 1 Breakfast often changes hands this time of year. It's exactly 20 years since Steve Wright began his 15-month stint, and someone who lasted a touch longer began this week 10 years ago.
You two on beautiful day from Radio 1. Morning, Britain. I am Chris Moyles, the saviour. Hello. First of all, look at the text messages to get all the compliments and, you know, good morning wishes and everything.
Radio 1 Breakfast also changed hands this week in 1981 when Mike Reed began.
Mike Reed, that's your Radio 1.
Oh, I like that. It's 30 minutes past 7, it's Thursday morning, bit of a frost out this morning. Did you notice the frost? Bit nippy. Got outside in just the shirt and pullover, and then noticed the car was covered in frost. Dreadful, dreadful.
Across at Radio 4 this week, 29 years ago, Michael Parkinson took the chair of Desert Island Discs.
The castaway who was to have been the late Roy Plumley's first guest when his series returned to the air last June is introduced now by Michael Parkinson.
Our castaway today is the British film director Alan Parker, who's made such fine films as Midnight Express, Bugsy Malone, Fame, and most recently...
It's 20 years now since we lost this voice.
Loud cheers, because we have a streaker. I'm afraid a female lady streaker.
Oh, I prefer them that way.
And she's got some shorts on, luckily, but she's coming on, and she's waving a flag. I don't know what it says. She's dancing up and down on the pitch. And she hasn't got much on up above the briefs she is wearing.
Brian Johnston. Johnners, who died this week in 1994. He'd been with the BBC from 1946. This week last year, we said farewell to someone who taught a generation of spotty programmers how to use Selector. And she had to put up with Kenny Everett too.
Every week I used to go down into the BBC record library, into the archives, and look back for unusual pieces of music that I knew would appeal to Kenny. And this pile, it was always on the corner of my desk, and there'd be anything from Jack Holbert to Al Bowley to big band to this or that or the other, right across the board.
Angela Bond, who died this week last year. And it's 2 years now since we lost Bob Holness.
In a moment, a special extended bulletin of LBC News, as at 8 o'clock we bring you the very latest on the surrender in the Falklands. And eyewitness accounts, some of them highly dramatic, from our own correspondents. We'll be talking in the studio over the next hour of AM, not only to...
Bob hosted the famous programme called AM on LBC with Douglas Cameron.
Bob was a dream to present with. We did have a chemistry right from the start.
You did.
It was impossible not to like Bob, with the result that we, and indeed our wives, Mary and my Mrs. Marjorie, were the best of friends off-air as well as on.
Dougie Cameron on Bob Holness, who died on the 6th of January 2012. So with the first Mark Forrest networked evening show on BBC local radio this week last year, the BBC Forces programme launching 74 years ago, and Nick Ferrari beginning on LBC this week 10 years ago.
Last question, Prime Minister. You have had the most extraordinary recent 12 or 18 months, and yet you've come through with resilience. Is that because you do God?
I think that's a very difficult question.
Those are this week's
Radio Moments.
Cheers, David. That's it for now. More Radio Today next week. Do join us then if you can. It's been a TDC production. I'm Trevor at trevordan.com. Farewell.